Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Well, it's not London Town, but it is definitely a foggy day out there. How about it, Ryan, looking out the window? Can't see anything.
I know. Can you believe it's 58 degrees right now in Joliet?
This is crazy.
It's going to change real quick, though.
Tonight, super freezing tonight, right?
Yeah, down to the teens. We've got winds are going to pick up this evening to the overnight hours, and tomorrow's high is going to be in the mid-20s.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. I'm looking out the window here. Normally, we have a nice clean shot of Navy Pier. Can't see Navy Pier at all. And you can only see the top of the Ferris wheel, the very top of the Ferris wheel, which is...
Not a good place to be right now?
Would be kind of fun to be in a super foggy morning in the Ferris wheel, wouldn't it?
Be above the clouds? I guess that'd be interesting.
I like not being able to see anything from that high up. Not a fan of the heights. Nice to have you here with us on a Sunday morning, Ryan.
Yeah, you got the B-team crew, I guess, as you would refer to it on WGN. That.
I call Schwanny the B-team.
No. He's living it up in D.C. right now. Just check their temperature, 36 degrees.
Oh,
so.
Boy. Yeah, he's taking pictures of natural things, natural trails. That's what he does. That's his idea of a fun vacation. But nice to have Ryan Burrow here with us this morning, and Kevin Wells also.
Yeah, what's up, Dean?
Very nice.
Glad to be back on the show this morning.
Nice combo platter of people, and of course, producer Eli. Eli and I care enough to be at our appointed posts.
Holding down the fort.
Holding down the fort here this morning. But, yeah. Here's the first thing I noticed. I should be, paying attention to my show content. Who are we going to interview today? What are we going to do on the show? First thing I mentioned to producer Eli, I said, check out the baseball caps in the newsroom today. Ryan,
yep.
Sporting it backwards.
Backwards, yep.
Kevin, sporting it frontwards.
Mm-hmm.
Brim in front. I find that very interesting.
We're going a little slouchy today. Not in the newsroom.
Ryan dug into the back of his closet and found the Robbie Gold jersey to celebrate this morning.
I like the throwback look.
You were old school.
Funny story. I parked next door at Aqua, and I get in the elevator to come on up here, and I'm wearing my Bears jersey, and two Packers fans wearing Packer jerseys walk in with bags of Packers gear, and we just kind of did the head nod. We didn't throw down, but I felt like a commercial, like I was entering some kind of commercial where... You know, two Packers fans enter the elevator with the Bears fan.
I would have paid any money for you to have a cheese grater hat on at that moment.
Just randomly walking around with it.
Yeah, just walking around the Aqua Hotel, which would not be the weirdest thing I've seen at the Aqua Hotel, by the way. Not that I spend a lot of time at the strange hotels, but it's right next door and many of us park there.
Bears and Packers end up playing in the playoffs, I'm sure you'll see the cheese graters all over the streets.
Oh, my gosh. The cheese graters are... Like everywhere all of a sudden.
The guy who makes it in Houston, Texas is exclusively making those now. He stopped all other production because it's been such a hot item. I think they said 4,000 purchases were made in that week, and the guy's like, this is all I can make right now. I've got no time for anything else.
How much does one of those set you back for? Has anybody checked?
No, we got to find one on the secondary market.
It's
got to
be
point.
$30, right? Let me look. Cheese grater.
I would think it would be, but I'm going to say because they're so in demand.
I think the Ravens had them yesterday too. After that game,
they did. They were wearing them after the game, and I wasn't the story the guy that made them. Wasn't he originally making the cheesehead hats before he got a cease and desist letter from the
That's exactly
that's
it.
Right.
So he'll just go. He made the cheese graters.
He'll just go whatever way the wind is going. Then
$39.99 foampartyhats.com.
It's an investment right there. Good one.
$39. It's a good one, though.
We might see those at New Year's parties, don't
bit.
You think?
New Year's parties. I don't want to jinx anything by projecting too far. But can you imagine if the Bears go all the way this year, the cheese grater hats that
Wouldn't
we're going to see on national television, for a Super Bowl broadcast?
They'd have to crown the Willis with one.
Now I've jinxed it.
You got to put one on the Willis Tower if
and
they do
the,
that.
The Lions in front of the Art Institute. Yes.
Yes. Does this make up for those Brewers fans who held the L flag after they beat the Cubs? Because that one stung a little.
Yeah.
I guess this is the payback.
That's why we love sports. Nothing wrong with a little smack talk between the two states.
Oh, it's fun.
It's fun. It's fun for everybody.
Yeah, it's fun.
More fun for us right now.
Makes it a little uncomfortable when you go to the brat stop. You stop at the
It's a great spot, by the
you
way.
You have to hide your identity when you go in just to get some bratwursts.
Apparently, you got to do that at the Aqua Hotel, too.
What's the other one? Mars Cheese Castle. That's the other one I was thinking of. I haven't been up there in a long time. Is it still...
Yeah, Mars Cheese Castle's still kicking it.
They expanded it. It's really nice now. They got wines and beers and cheeses. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I used to like the plainness of it all. It's the simplicity.
Got a great story about Ted Cruz on a campaign stop there back in 2016 where he wanted some hot jalapeno cheese because that's what they had in Texas. And after he ate it, he looked over to his aide and asked for some water.
Oh.
So thought he could take it, but I think the people said, you know, this is still pretty hot.
So Kevin and Eli and Ryan, please feel free as well. You know, how super excited are we? The Bears clinch the NFC, right? And Hamp and OB are going to cover it all at 4:30 today? Is that
4 o'clock today.
4 o'clock.
Yep, because we have Blackhawks right after that. Okay. So the game kicks off at 7:20. Hamp and OB will be on after the game, too. But, yes, 4 o'clock pregame for them today.
So what are your guys' thoughts on all of this? And then I'll happily just jump on whatever bandwagons you all lay out.
I think it feels good. You know, this is the first year of hopefully the dawn of a new age for the Bears. It felt different after they started 0-2 and went on a run. And this team feels as though the culture's different. It feels as though they can hang their hat on one of the best play callers in the league. It feels as though they can hang their hat on a quarterback who's only getting better. And... you know, you hope that this is the start of something great. I think winning the North is a really good first step, and I think Ben Johnson's done a really nice job of keeping things in perspective, right? You want to win the division and make the playoffs, but he said it in his opening press conference, our goal is to win and win now, and this is just one of the steps along the way. They still have to win. You know, they'll be able to play at Soldier Field now, but getting that number one seed is monumental. Because I believe 5 out of the 7 number one seeds since they expanded the playoffs to 7 teams, 5 out of the 7 who have won the NFC those years have gone on to go to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So that's an important thing. The numbers back it up. You get a week rest. You get a bye week. So I think that's got to be the next thing on the Bears. They got to win tonight, and they got to beat Detroit next week. But this is it's been a really, really fun season.
It has been.
And all season long, there's just been those comparisons to 2018 from, like, the heartbreaking loss in week one. You have a first-year coach, a second-year quarterback. Now you win the division. There's just so many parallels to that 2018 season, which was truly magical. But we all know how that one ended. But as Kevin was saying, the culture with Ben Johnson really just feels different, where now if there's a spot where if they're late in a playoff game needing to drive to have points to survive in advance, you're not going to feel as your heart's not going to be pounding as much because we've been kind of conditioned to these late game theatrics throughout the rest of the season so far.
And last week was I don't think my heart has recovered yet from last week. That was so exciting.
I'm still catching up on sleep from that one.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I want to wrap our quarterback up in bubble wrap and put him underground for the next 2 weeks. I'm just afraid, guys. I'm afraid of concussions, rolled ankles. I just want to get into the playoffs healthy.
That is not in Ben Johnson's DNA, I'm afraid to tell you. They are going all out today and next week to try to get the top seed.
I was at someplace over the weekend where somebody was making the argument that the Bears that it's only just been luck this year because there have been like these last minute pullouts. And that all that is luck, that it's not the skill. Eli, what's your take on that?
There's definitely been a lot of fortunate bounces of the ball in the way this season's gone for the Bears. But, like, what's the quote? It's like, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So, yeah, when the Bears have been granted an opportunity, like a onside kick goes their way or the defense misses a tackle, they're still doing their part in capitalizing off of it. Like, just because they get the ball at the 50 doesn't mean you're going to score a touchdown on the next play, but Caleb Williams is going to chuck the ball down the field and find DJ Moore to win the game. Or they're going to stay in it even though they blow a 14-point lead with 2 minutes to go against Cincinnati. Colson Loveland's going to find his way free to score the go-ahead touchdown late. So there's just that mentality that Ben Johnson has instilled in the team to stay in the fight at that point in the game and know exactly what to do when that moment of luck finally comes. It feels cool to see that, like, they're on the right side of luck this time, if luck is going to be the factor.
Yeah. We have a very, really verbose and intelligent discussion on this here this morning.
Great way to fun. We're all locked in.
Unlike when Schwani and I discuss it, and really as far as we go is, I think that's fine.
It's fine.
We're all locked in, man. The city's a different city when the Bears are good. Everybody's got their eyes on the television. Everybody's paying attention to those stats. Everybody's paying attention to what the quarterback and the head coach are saying. And it's not something we're used to. I mean, but there's so much parity. Kind of what Eli was talking about in terms of the luck there. There's definitely been some bounces. But the coaching staff has stood out. And I'm sure you'll hear a lot about that from OB today. The coaches. The coaching staff has stood out because games like that where you get a bounce on an onside kick to go win it against Green Bay, a lot of that is coaching. The way that ball is kicked, the way they line up, who they put on that side of the ball to go recover it, it may not seem like it up front, but the Bears will never get out-coached with this staff. I'm confident to say that. They might lose games, but they won't be out-coached. I think they've proven themselves to be a top staff in the entire league.
Are you guys having me excited now?
You should be. This is we're not used to this. The Bears have lost the North 3 straight years, and now worst to first.
Yeah.
This is exciting. This is an exciting time.
What's that?
What a season.
Yeah. What a season. Exactly. I know what I wanted to ask you, especially Eli, because Eli is also part of the Hamp and OB show. He helps behind the scenes with that. How are those guys doing? Are they... behind the scenes, because I haven't seen them. Normally, I see them when we do the transition. We haven't had that the last several weeks. Are they doing okay? Just personally, give us some behind. This is where my entertainment reporter thing kicks in. Give me some behind the scenes now of the Hamp and OB show.
I mean, just being here for some of those games with just the most miraculous endings, OB is the exact person you want to be next to for a lot of those big moments because you don't know what reaction you're about
to get.
Does
he still get, like, when good things happen, does he also go nuts?
Yeah, but a lot of the time it's just because he's incredulous at the fact that that's happened in the Bears' favor. Because, like, we're just so used to seeing it go the other way.
he's mad that things are going well?
Yeah, and sometimes the default reaction he ends up falling on is, well, the other team's really bad, and that's why that went well for us. But sometimes you just got to take that where you go. There's a gut reaction to every single play. It's not like there's context that multiplies throughout the weight of the game. Yeah. It's, oh, that play didn't go well. This drive is a disaster now. But it's always, as long as you can stay on your toes with the way that the Bears have played with everyone's emotions all season long, yeah, You'll be just fine having that extra roller coaster next to you.
You know, the whole thing, I mean, this is me strictly as a listener. Someday... Except I know that it would annoy them to no end. I would just want to stay and sit in the studio while they do their show. And I'm sure that they would have me kicked out of the building if I ever tried that. But it's so honest.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing to me about Hamp and OB. You want a couple of hours of pure honesty?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get any better than that with those two.
I think the best part about that win over Green Bay was the social media picture on WGNRadio.com and Facebook and Twitter of Andy, Hamp, and OB all smiling ear to ear.
Yes, arm in arm.
I mean, I don't think I've ever seen Hamp and OB smile that big. I mean, holding hands, laughing, talking about what a great win it was. I mean, that's what it's all about. And those guys, you're right, the honesty factor. I can't wait to hear the honesty factor tonight, because tonight, man, oh, man, they got a tough matchup tonight.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so we'll get to Hampton OB 4 o'clock, you said, right? Well, that's what.
4 o'clock tonight, man. Yep. I can't wait. I mean, appointment radio today, guys. Appointment radio at 4 o'clock. And right now, of course.
Let me just tell you something. I could listen to 3 hours of just our silly OB drop-ins. That would be an entertaining program for me.
Now that they're division champs, they might have a whole new batch after tonight's show.
Could be a whole new something coming up. We'll see. That's at 4 o'clock today. In the meantime, for us, until 11:30 this morning, we're going to do a little bit of the best of 2025. We've talked to some huge A-listers through the year. We're going to replay some of my favorite A-list conversations through the years, and also on the show this morning, the number one most viewed cooking segment that I have done on WGN TV. We'll share that. Of all the cooking segments that we've done, the one that has gotten the most views on the internet, that and so much more is all coming right up for you. So, Ryan, this would normally be the time where Schwani does his far-flung forecast, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures, as we like to put it. Today, I will be filling in for the aforementioned D. Schwann.
Oh, thank goodness. I was not prepared for what you saying. So what do you got, Ryan?
Did you think I was going to ask you to pull one out of your magic hat?
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear what you've got for us.
Well, first of all, everyone has to get their his protractors and newfangled devices.
Sure.
Compasses, protractors, devices.
Forgot the compasses. Yes, compasses, protractors, and newfangled devices for some reason. He's been saying it for years, and I still don't really understand what that means. But today, our far-flung forecast stays right here in Chicago, and if we were going to pinpoint it, it would be at 825 North Clark Street. This is where a company began in 1883, a company who had a catalog business, a catalog that included 10,000 items. In 1896, the Sears Roebuck Company got into the catalog business. But the one that we're talking about today was started by a gentleman by the name of Aaron Montgomery Ward. In 1908, the company opened their first building, their first store, and flourished until the year 2000. And that's after opening stores all over America, being one of the biggest retailers in America. It fell victim to competition like Target and others, and most of all to the internet and online shopping. And in the year 2000, Montgomery Ward closed their final store. And what was the temperature, Ryan, you said here in Chicago? And more specifically, if you can give us the temperature at 825 North Clark Street.
Yeah, pulling that up right now. Yeah. 825, they're at 48 degrees right now.
Okay.
A block over, it's 47. So
makes a difference.
Yep.
Cooler near the lake. We all know that. There you go. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time for the Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Joining us, as always, Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Delner Hospital. And I hope you had a nice holiday, Dr. Wheat. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I did. I hope you had one as well.
Very much so. But all I've been hearing about with the, you know, all the hugging for the holidays, all the, you know, kissing relatives, all I'm hearing about is super flu. And, you know, feel like I should put a big plastic bag around me to protect myself against whatever it is that is going wild out there, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's a reasonable response. We absolutely have seen so much flu. When we were chatting last week, we were definitely seeing numbers rising. But even since we chatted last week, numbers have doubled. And so we now really do have a lot more flu in this past week. And so many people, unfortunately, are sick. And so that means that if you haven't gotten the flu, that there's probably somebody around you that has it, and we need to be thinking about protecting ourselves.
Yeah. So talk to me a little about this flu strain. I mean, lots of us got our flu shots. Are we not protected from whatever it is that's going around right now?
Right. So when we think about the flu shots, they make decisions on what flu strains they want to protect for before we know what they are. And there is a new variant that has come out since they made the decisions on the flu vaccines. And unfortunately, it does seem like this strain is missing the flu shot, but so people are still getting sick even if they have had the flu shot. But it's important to keep in mind that it's not just about not getting the flu. It's also about, if you do get the flu, trying to avoid some of the serious complications, trying to avoid being in the hospital. And so many of the people that I know that did have the flu shot and have gotten this flu strain are not doing quite as badly as some of the ones who did not get the vaccine. So it is still helping.
So it's minimizing how bad it could be, I guess.
Exactly.
Had you had nothing at all. Well, that's a somewhat of a comfort, I guess. Is it too late to avoid this super flu now by getting out there and getting immunized today?
So the flu vaccine usually takes about 2 weeks to be effective. So I will say it's never too late. We are definitely still in the throes of it, so I won't be surprised if numbers continue to climb over the next week or so, if not longer, when kids are going back to school and all of us are going back into offices for work. And so I don't think it's too late. And then please don't forget, we usually see two waves of the flu. So we usually see flu A, which is most of what we're seeing right now, but we also see flu B, which the vaccine protects against as well. And we are starting to see some flu B too. So I would say go out and get it if you haven't yet.
Okay. How do you know if it's flu or just a cold, or how can you differentiate between what it is that you might get?
So the biggest differences that we see between the flu and a typical cold are really the fever and the body aches. And of course, you can get those with a cold too, but the flu tends to have a fever that's higher faster. As in, I will tell you, my own daughter had the flu and she went from feeling well to waking up with a fever the next morning. And it's just sort of a bit more of a dramatic change. And then the body aches all over, feeling exhausted, tend to be more than with a typical cold. And at this point, we can now also get testing. You can get testing over the counter at the pharmacy and test at home if you don't want to go in. Though I would say if you're worried, it's worthwhile to go in, because sometimes we can treat you and help spread help stop the spread in your household by treating you and potentially giving prophylaxis to any family members that are at high risk.
Yeah, to stop into like an immediate care kind of place, or if you can get in to see your doctor.
Exactly.
That's great. Holiday week is probably not the best time to do that. But what can we do to minimize getting it in the first place? Obviously, not touching things, maybe, wearing a mask, those kinds of things. But are there things that we can be taking, supplements, things like that, that might boost our immunity to getting the super flu?
Well, I would say start with all of the basic things, hand washing, eating well, getting sleep to make sure your body has the best defenses to start with. But if you know that you were exposed, and particularly if you're high risk, there are medications that are out there that you can take to prevent getting it. There's two main medications that we're offering that are available, though one of them is harder to get, at least when I tried to get it for my own daughter in the Chicagoland area. And so it is worthwhile if you have anything like asthma or COPD or have any immunosuppression or have little kids in your house to consider reaching out to your doctor to see if you can get the prophylaxis.
What are those medications that people should be asking their doctors about them?
Yeah, so the two main ones that are available are Tamiflu and Xofluza, and it really depends on your individual situation, which one is the best one for you. Tamiflu is the only one that is available for very young children, as in like babies and under five, and then Xofluza is available for people over five. That one is a one-time dose. Tamiflu is a multiple dose. But there's also the dependent factors on if your insurance will cover it and what is available. Tamiflu was the one I was able to get for my kid when she was sick.
Yeah. What about, you know, these old wives' tales and, you know, slogans, you know, starve a cold, feed a fever, you know, things like that. Any of that apply, or is that just, you know, my grandmother believed in all that stuff greatly. That and Vicks VapoRub therapy. No matter what you, with my grandmother, no matter what you had, Vicks VapoRub was part of the answer.
Very similar in our household, though I will say the one that I will really encourage is the chicken soup is the one that I still really recommend to all of my patients for several reasons. One is the steam tends to feel good, particularly when you have a respiratory infection. The chicken, if you eat meat, the protein can be helpful to help keeping you from having those ups and downs. And then the fluids, lots and lots of fluids. And the warm fluids often feel good when you don't feel good. Truthfully, with the flu, people aren't usually hungry. So if we can get fluids in them, then that is the best thing.
Okay. So really any kind of fluids, juices. I would think that sports drinks might be helpful. Would they? If you're going through something like that, just to make sure you don't get dehydrated?
So they can be. The thing I would watch out for is even with some of the juices, if they are too sugary, that can make you feel worse. And so even if you're going to do juice, sometimes I recommend splitting it with water so that it's like a half-strength juice so that it's not too sugary. And then staying away from heavily caffeinated drinks because that can also make you actually more dehydrated along the way.
Okay. All right. Do you have a recommendation for juice? I don't know why when I get sick, I go crazy with grapefruit juice for some reason. For some reason, I feel like if it tastes bad, it must be helping me more.
I'm not sure everyone thinks it tastes bad, but I think that that probably comes from the vitamin C, right? I feel like I was told always that vitamin C can be helpful to help you fight a cold. I feel like the data is sort of mixed on that. For little kids, we often recommend apple juice because it does taste good, but split in half so that they can get at least fluids in them.
It's not overly sugary, but warm drinks I'm hearing you say are also a really good choice as well. So maybe like a nice mild tea, something like that.
A couple
of questions regarding all of this. 217 area code, which, by the way, somebody from 217, that's the Springfield area, said it's 64 degrees in Springfield right now. So there you go. But the 217 area code said, should I get another flu shot if I had one in October?
No, there's no evidence for getting a second flu shot. But it's an interesting question. Worrying about is it going to wear off? But it would be the same exact flu shot that you would have gotten in October. So there's not really any evidence that will really help.
So they don't make adjustments to the vaccine once they know, you know, what the strain is that's out there right now. Like we have this new strain that's out there. They don't say, well, we better add a little of this or a little of that to compensate for what is actually going around. They don't do that.
They don't do that, unfortunately. No. And right now we're seeing that subclade K is the one that everybody is worried about that's moving so much faster than the previous ones.
Interesting. Okay. 815 area code. How long is an isolation period these days for COVID?
Oh, that is a great question. So they did change some of that in the past year or two, where now the recommendation is similar to other viral illnesses, that you want to be fever-free for at least 24 hours and symptoms improving. And then the guidelines right now say that you can return. You are still contagious, though, so I would still recommend wearing a mask if you go out, even when you're feeling better, for at least 7 to 10 days.
Oh, wow.
To make sure you're not spreading it.
Okay. Well, that really hasn't changed that much since original COVID.
It hasn't.
You really need to sort of keep yourself, or at least keep your germs to yourself for some of that time.
And I'll say it's not just COVID, it's the flu too. So if you get the flu, you're still contagious for a little bit even after you feel better. So still considering keeping your germs to yourself.
Okay, all right. 630 area code suggests drinking low-sodium V8 juice when you're not feeling well. That's a good idea. That's loaded with all kinds of vitamins. But the low-sodium part is super important because some of those bottled and canned juices, including V8, can be super high in sodium. So you do need to look for the low-sodium version of that.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Or here's an idea. Make some yourself. Throw some vegetables in a blender and make it from... It's not hard to make from scratch and I think would be much better for you, said the man who still goes by the Vicks VapoRub theory of cures. 9:51, more with Dr. Santina Wheat next. The Week in Health, Dr. Santina Wheat on the line taking your calls and texts. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Dr. Wheat, the 708 area code says... 6 days ago, started with stuffy sinuses, went to drainage and coughing. Now one ear is getting clogged. Is there anything that I can do or take?
Sure. So I recommend that nasal saline spray can really help flush out some of the things that are going on there, because usually it's all of the mucus in your nose, and you can feel that in your throat and in your ears as well. And so I would start there. The Tylenol or ibuprofen can be really helpful for the discomfort in your ears. If you start having a fever afterwards, it might be worth seeing a doctor, though, too, in case you have an infection in your ear.
630 area code. I used to get colds all the time. I've started taking 500 milligrams of vitamin C every day. Now fewer colds. And fewer colds. Anything to that?
I feel like I have seen mixed information on the vitamin C. That is one that I have had in my family as well. And so we do use vitamin C in our household when we're worried. I do in general recommend that you get it from your food over supplements, though, when you can, because your body just uses it better.
630 area code. People came over last night with the beginning of a cold. They were contagious last night. Is it possible that we can now get cold? We're okay right now.
If they had symptoms last night, they were definitely contagious, and it is still possible for you to get it. Sometimes it can take 2 to 3 days for you to start showing symptoms when you've been infected. So it'd be worthwhile if you can find out what they had, because if it was the flu, you're still in that window that you could get prophylaxis.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, coming up, we've got New Year's Eve. A lot of people are going to over-imbibe. Is there anything that they can do to minimize the effects of drinking too much on New Year's Eve?
Well, one of the things that I would recommend is start by trying to slow yourself down on New Year's Eve. I generally recommend to my patients that they alternate like a water or a non-alcoholic drink with the alcoholic drinks that they're going to have. That really can help you. And then if you do happen to wake up in the morning and you're feeling the effects of it, it is really a lot of things going on. Trying to get some extra sleep can be really helpful. Making sure you're drinking, especially with some electrolytes to try to get the dehydration to go away, because we do definitely have the impact of dehydration. And then pain reliever, though being cautious to make sure that the alcohol is out of your system before you really start with some of that pain reliever.
All right. Or moderation. Here's a novel.
Moderation.
Here's a novel concept. Now, moderation. Dr. Santina Wheat, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Northwestern's Delner Hospital. Happy New Year to you and your family. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Happy New Year to you, too, as well. Have a great week.
So this is going to be kind of a nightmarish travel day. It's like the busiest travel day of the year, but we've got the fog, I can't see anything out of our windows now.
Yeah.
Before, I could see a little bit, but nothing right now. A
couple dozen flight cancellations. The delays have been kind of fluctuating between 15 minutes and 30 minutes, due in large part to the weather. But we had bad weather right after Christmas in the Northeast. We had storms in the West, so it's been a little bit of a mess. You'd expect that this time of year, though, I suppose.
Yeah, that's not going to make it easier for people returning home for the holidays. They're cheery, cheery moods out there at the airports.
I'm interested to see how many people are headed out too for New Year's, because the way it kind of falls this year, I mean, you could in theory spend Christmas at home and then head out for
New Year's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible. It's entirely possible. Yeah, I think more and more people are staying in these days. Maybe it's just a function of I only know old people.
Could be it.
You're not old.
I didn't say I was. I just saying that. I'm talking about Schwani, of course. I'm referring to him.
Schwani's already called off for next week. He says he's stuck in traffic.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only he could call off a week early or call in sick a week early. Hey, I just heard a segment on Superflu. I better call in sick. The original trailer for the movie And God Created Woman was the movie that put Brigitte Bardot on the cinematic map. Brigitte Bardot died at her home in Saint-Tropez, 91 years old. Really one of the first, femme fatales, I guess you might say. She was, right there with Marilyn Monroe in a more international sense, I guess. With some of the films that she did, the president of France, Emmanuel Macron, said this morning that she was a legend of the century, that she was a world-renowned actress, and very definitely she was actress, singer, animal rights activist, very much part of what she did. Macron wrote. Her film, her voice, her dazzling glory, her initials, her sorrows, her generous passion for animals, her face that became Marianne, Brigitte Bardot embodied a life of freedom. French existence, universal brilliance. She touched us. We mourn a legend of the century. But not without some controversy over the years. Made some extremely disparaging remarks about ethnic groups, about LGBT people, didn't really care. She lived her life as she pleased. 91 years old, film legend, Brigitte Bardot. I gotta say, she's a sort of a generation before my awareness of. Movies. I think she was like a little before my time. I'm certainly aware of her. I'm aware of who she is. I think I've seen this movie, And God Created Women. I can't remember. It's very, very late 50s, early 60s looking. But anyway, that's part of what's in the news this morning. And kind of takes us to, this list of celebrities who have died in the year 2025. Rob Reiner, of course, is one of the most shocking of the whole year. He and his wife being murdered, his son being charged with that murder. Another one that was just a shocking, shocking death this year was that of Gene Hackman, who was found in his home, apparently dead for several days before he was even found. He and his wife also dying at the same time at their home in San Antonio. But the list is long this year. Diane Ladd is on the list. Sally Kirkland is on the list. Also, June Lockhart, Ace Frehley, the group Kiss. Rapper D'Angelo, Diane Keaton, another one, huge loss this year, Robert Redford, died in 2025. Who else do we have on here?
Is Malcolm Jamal Warner on there?
Malcolm Jamal Warner is definitely on the list. Yes, sir, he is. Ozzy Osbourne is on the list. Chuck Mangione. Connie Francis on the list. Sly Stone on the list. Chicago's very own George Wendt also on the list of, you know, celebs. What a sweet man. Richard Chamberlain, George Foreman. I mean, there are many, many, many more. Roberta Flack, Marianne Faithfull, all dying. Peter Yarrow from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Sam Moore from Sam and Dave. Bob Uecker, also falling on the list. Director Dave David Lynch. You know, just some of the people that we lost in 2025.
And locally, Ryan Sandberg as well.
Ryan Sandberg. God, it just breaks my heart when I even think about that.
Steve McMichael.
Yeah, yeah. Heartbreaking, heartbreaking. This has been a bad, it's always sad. People die, it's always sad, but it just seems like, Ryan, you probably know this as the news director and stories that we cover. Haven't there, it seems like there have been an exceptional amount of obituaries this year.
You know, we're both in the news business, and you know we've got some locked and loaded preparing, you know.
Yeah.
You've always got some.
You have some that you prepare ahead of time.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the people who are, you know, 99 years old, and you know it's a matter of time, and you want to be prepared for this.
We sat on the Jimmy Carter one for a while. Remember, he went into hospice care, and I think he went over a year.
A long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, long time. Well, I'm sure we'll be hearing much more about this as we get a little closer to New Year's Eve. Some other A-listers that I wanted to talk about today were some of my favorites that I was lucky enough to sit down and talk with this year. There were many, many, many. So I chose a few to reshare with you this morning as we go back and look at some of my favorite A-listers of 2025, and that include two of the stars of the movie One Battle After Another. Very likely could go on to win an Academy Award for Best Picture. It's one of the ones that's being talked most about, Best Picture options. Leonardo DiCaprio and Benicio del Toro coming up next. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Weekend box office numbers. So far, a very good weekend for Avatar, Fire and Ash. It remains the number one movie for the holiday weekend. They took in an additional $22.6 million. So it is leading the way for the holiday. After that, the number two movie is Anaconda, the Jack Black and Paul Rudd movie, which I thought was very funny. And actually, kind of clever. That's not normally my kind of movie. These, you know, action and, you know, sort of R-rated comedies. But this one, I got to say, it was that. It's an action movie, an R-rated comedy. But the writing in it is a little more clever than that. Marty Supreme, the Timothée Chalamet movie called Marty Supreme, another outstanding film, one of the best of the year. Jumps up to the number three spot, I think kind of surprising everybody. Disney's Zootopia comes in at number four, followed by Paul Feig's The Housemaid, leading us to some of the big movies of 2025. One of the movies that is winning all of the early award shows, Critics Association honors, is One Battle After Another. It's the Paul Thomas Anderson film that stars Benicio del Toro and Sean Penn and Regina King and Leonardo DiCaprio. It is a wild movie. This is a love it or hate it movie, and I gotta say that I did love this movie. I gave it a Dean's List A, but I've heard from plenty of people who absolutely could not stand this movie. It's not for everyone. It's very hard R-rated. But it is a cleverly told and cleverly made story about a washed-up revolutionary who is trying to live off the grid with his daughter. And in his revolutionary life, he is wanted by the police and the military. So he goes off the grid and takes his very spirited daughter along with him. The daughter is also being sought by the authorities. And it's sort of a cat and mouse game kind of movie. That is really oversimplifying the plot of this movie because it's much more complex than that. I thought thrillingly exciting, as I expressed to Benicio del Toro and Leonardo DiCaprio when I sat down with them earlier this year.
Thank you. I barely
could go to sleep last night after I saw this movie, reliving it and thinking about different parts, and that I hadn't seen a movie in such a long time that's so multifaceted and so interesting and so many great characters. And I kept coming back to the timeliness of this film and how obviously it was made a couple of years ago probably, but is so relevant to today. Was that part of the attraction for you in the script?
Well, I think the attraction for both of us was just to be able to work with Paul. I mean, he's such a visionary. He's a generational director, but I know I love being a part of movies that have just a tremendous amount of thought put into it, that are robust and multi-layered and have different character facets. And ironically, I think he's been thinking about this movie for 20 years now. And the fact that it's coming out in the day and age that it is, with the sort of political discourse, the idea of extremism on both ends, it's just ironic that it's landing at this spot. But at the heart of it, he deals with all these issues with a great amount of irony and satire, action, and comedy too. You know, Spielberg talked about relating it to Dr. Strangelove. That may or may not be the case, but you're able to laugh and go on a ride and a journey with these characters.
Yeah.
And at the heart of it is a sense of compassion that you have for another, and the ability for these characters to, you know, have a humanity for one another, which I love.
And empathy. I mean, your character is so flawed, but is so lovable and funny at the same time, both of you, really. Benicio, what's the PTA attraction for you?
Well, I mean, he is one of a kind, and I think he, you know, we've been talking about him for quite a bit, but I think one thing he does have is this: he loves the process of the actor. He really includes the actor, even though he's a writer director, he really includes the actor in taking control of your own character. Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about your question before, it's like when I was talking to him, when I read the script and I was talking to him, I asked him, when does this take place? And he goes, well, about maybe 10, 15 years from now. Took a year and we're in it. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's amazing.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's amazing.
He's that guy. He has a vision. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, sure is. I think the first movie that we talked was Gilbert Grape. It's been that long ago.
That's amazing.
I was just thinking about when was the first time I talked to you. And I was reflecting on your career. Do you do that, or is this just a continuous roller coaster ride for you? Do you look back nostalgic on early projects and things like that?
I definitely get nostalgic about early projects. It's always the first one, you know, the first one being immersed in, you know, coming from commercials, television, and then you get that role, right? And you're on set and there's a whole different level of seriousness, quietness, concentration. And I got to do my first movie with Michael Caton Jones and Ellen Barkin and Robert De Niro in This Boy's Life. And just being able to watch Mr. De Niro on set and the focus that he had, his ability to improvise, be in the moment, I was like profoundly, profoundly affected by that. But as far as looking back on my whole career, no, I think it's something I rarely do. I think I may catch a movie of mine here or there, but I want to keep going, you know, and stuff evolves, but
rather
it's always that first thing.
Backwards. Benicio del Toro and Leonardo DiCaprio talking about their film One Battle After Another. Coming up after the news, Adam Sandler and Julie Bowen talked to me on the golf course, actually on the putting green of the golf course where they shot the movie, Happy Gilmore 2. We'll get to that coming up. And also, speaking of movies, by the way, many of you have watched the new episodes that they just dropped of Stranger Things on Netflix. The very final episode will be released on New Year's Eve, both streaming but also in theaters. They're going to do it as a theatrical event also. So if you're a Stranger Things fan, you're looking for something to do on New Year's Day, that will be available to you. What a busy year in entertainment it has been. All this coming week, we will be flashing back on some of the top moments on our WGN-TV morning news and also on my daily segment that I do on the Bob Surratt Show. Bob's on vacation, but I'll be going back and we'll be remembering some of those moments with the fill-in hosts du jour. Look forward to that. I wanted to share some of my A-list interviews with you today, some of my favorite ones. And by far, one of the most fun interviews that I did took place, I forget the name of the golf course. It was in New Jersey. And it was the golf course where Adam Sandler shot the sequel to his legendary film, Happy Gilmore, one of the great silly comedies of all time. And I thought Happy Gilmore 2 was plenty of fun as well. Not the, it wasn't, you know, as funny as the first one. Sequels rarely are as impactful, but still plenty of really funny moments. And I'm a huge Adam Sandler fan, have been for a long time. He's always been so nice in interviews that we've done through the years. In this case, though, on a sunny, super, I think it was like 95 degrees that day, we were sitting out on the golf course and chatting about Happy Gilmore 2 with not only Adam Sandler, but also his co-star, Julie Bowen.
So, you know, happy to see you.
Happy to see you both. And thank you for the laughs.
Thank you.
Thank you for not disappointing when there's a sequel.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go in, it's like, sure. I love the first one so much.
Thank you for
Please
that.
Don't disappoint me, and you sure didn't.
We did something pretty, we're happy with it. We're all happy with it.
It's really exciting. I'm always the one that's more cautious. I'm like, well, why mess with it? And yeah. Adam and yeah. Tim, they were dead right. And from cool. the minute I read it, I was like, this yep. is going to kill. Yep. It'll be great. Yeah. That's without knowing who all the people were.
Oh, man. Everybody showed up and helped us
everybody
out.
Showed up. Did you have some apprehension, though, Adam, when you were yeah. you know first going into this?
Like, of course. Terrified. Actually, I remember correctly. I didn't like, I'd never had a full-on panic attack, but there was one time me and Herlihy were at my office, and we were outlining and writing and writing, but what if this and this and putting stuff around, and I was like, and Chris McDonald told a DJ that we're doing it.
Oh, wow.
I saw him one night, Chris, and I said, we're working on, we didn't have a script yet, I said, we're working on doing it. You into that? And he was like, absolutely. I said, don't tell anyone because we just got to put this together. Then all of a sudden, Chris accidentally told the DJ. It became a story. And I was like, now we got to do it. And then I was like, me and Hurley, we were outlining it and it wasn't going as smoothly as we wanted. And we were like, I went to bed that night going, we are. Man, we are gonna disappoint.
Painted into a corner. Yeah. Oh my God. Well,
it definitely worked out. So I'm wondering how many, have you answered the question, why did it take 30 years to do this? 30,000 times? Do you come up with a different answer each time?
I don't know.
Time?
I don't have a real answer besides all of a sudden, I mean, it went from not even a thought to like 2 years ago, we just started talking about Happy being older and what his life would be like. And we would laugh at if it wasn't going as beautifully as the ending of the first one would lead you to believe. It's 30 years later and it happens.
Yeah. And Julie, I read that you said you weren't even sure if he would want you.
Yeah. Well, I
did want her, but then after doing it with her,
now you have questions.
Yeah, after I was like, the third one, we got to come up with something.
My kids kept saying, you're too old. And I said, I'm too old to play me 27 years ago, but not too old to play Virginia now. And they were like, doesn't he have a younger girlfriend? And then one of my sons was like, calls me from school, bruh. Bro, is it true that Sydney Sweeney's the cart girl and she's Adam Sandler's new girlfriend in Happy Gilmore 2? And I was like, I don't know. I haven't heard. I was like, that sounds right. That sounds great.
She'd be fantastic, Sydney Sweeney.
She would be fantastic.
But
she wasn't available.
She said no, and I said,
"Hey, like, an old back
rewrite." That was
went through,
about.
Went through the whole list.
Yeah.
That outline did not come out the way you wanted it to.
No, not at all. We wanted the true love story of us, and it made sense to. And who's not going to be in love with old Julie Bowen besides maybe one of our kids?
Well, but you know what? It's like it's the heart of the movie. It's
yes,
it's
is.
Like it's family. It's sweet.
Yeah,
and it's so effing hilarious at the same
time.
That's
so great, man.
That's the combination that you want. Maybe the clip that we show most often on our morning show for no particular reason, just when we want to laugh, you and Bob Barker.
Sure, man.
Classic, iconic.
Yeah, thank you.
What are your? Do you have any memories of that?
I do remember. Even it was kind of like this slant of a hill.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It was a little river, a little stream, and. I got there and Bob, I mean, first of all, we couldn't believe he said yes. We were like, we're going to get to hang out with Bob Barker, man. That guy's been in my bedroom at 11 o'clock since I'm born.
Right.
And
you've been spaying and neutering your dogs.
Yeah, listen to everything he told me to do with the pets I did. But then, of course, everybody knows Bob was a great fighter and he was excited to show that and wanted to win the fight and that in real life he would have won the fight. And so we just kind of. We choreographed it, but Bobby let it go on occasion.
Yeah.
Gave me a few extra jabs I didn't need.
Yeah. Classic.
Good for him.
Absolute classic.
Absolutely. Great man, Bob. Honestly, we became very friendly, and we went to dinner and hung out, and he was just such a nice gentleman.
Yeah. I think we could say that about you, too.
Thank you. You certainly could say I've been to dinner.
What?
The great Adam Sandler. I love that guy. He's so down to earth. Julie Bowen, hilarious. From the actual New Jersey golf course where they shot Happy Gilmore 2 is where we talked to them. And coming up, our pal Vince Vaughn, Chicago's very own, had one of the most talked about movies of 2025, Nonas, about a bunch of Italian grandmothers who take over the kitchen of a failing Italian restaurant that Vince Vaughn's character owns. We had a great conversation with Vince. We'll share that with you coming up in just a couple of minutes. Coming up after 11 o'clock, we'll get into a little Food Time talk today. Many of you have been wondering what happened to Jimmy Banos Jr., Jimmy Banos Jr., created the Purple Pig downtown and became one of the top restaurants in Chicago for years and years and years. He left the restaurant and is starting his own restaurant, a Greek restaurant this time, at 7620 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. It will be a new Greek restaurant called Kukla. And Jimmy will join us coming up after 11 to give us a little preview of what you can expect there. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, going back for some of our favorite A-list interviews of 2025. I have always said that I enjoy the restaurants that I enjoy most are not necessarily the big five-star fancy-schmancy restaurants. You give me somebody's grandma in the kitchen cooking, and I will take that any day of the week. And that's basically what Vince Vaughn's movie Nonas was about. He plays a guy who opens a restaurant that's not going very well, and he hires a bunch of Italian grandmothers to go into the kitchen and cook. There are a few, you know, problems along the way, but it's a lovely, charming movie, and hey, it's about food, so what's not to like about that? Vince Vaughn, Nonas, we sat down and we talked in a setting that looked just like a Chicago Italian restaurant.
Look at this. It's like we're in little Italy.
Like a little spot here, yeah.
Yeah, this is like being at Tofano's Prosecco's, or Rosebud someplace.
Gibson Italian.
In Chicago like that. You must have like related when you were making this movie to like some of the great Italian places that we have in Chicago.
Gene and Giorgetti's, they've been around forever. Yeah, no question. I mean, Chicago's such a great food city, among other things. And
I've had a chance to go enjoy all of those places probably too much because I love to sit and eat with friends. But yeah, no question about it.
Yeah. Did you relate to the experience that Joey, your character Joey, goes through of the relationship between love and family and food and how it all comes together?
I do. I think it's universal for all cultures. I'm sure you feel the same way, where I was raised with my grandmother in the house with me. You know, my parents were from the Depression, and so I was sharing this earlier. I wasn't that far removed from, like, you know, people who really had financial woes, like real problems, you know. But there was such a connected, the brother, the sister, they'd connect and take care of and stay together, and so much was centered around, you know, food was such a part of happy times and sad times.
Yeah. I honestly was in tears a little bit at the beginning of the movie, where little Joey is standing in the kitchen watching his mother and grandmother cooking like I used to do, watching my mother and my grandmother cooking, and every family thing was around food, every happy moment, every sad moment, every angry moment.
Yeah, a lot of like, angry moments too.
You know, there were, it's so relatable and to every culture. You know, ours was a Greek house, but it may as well have been Italian or anything else.
Yeah, exactly. I felt the same way when I watched the movie. There's the innocence of the child, the love that they gave him, you know, forgiving him for messing up the order he went to go get, you know, giving him a little grace, and then realizing in a flash. And life can feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, even our childhoods, we go back to, memories come up, you connect to it, but you do sometimes go, wow, where did that moment go? And it's just a reminder, I think, for all of us, not that we want those moments of losing friends and family, but to really appreciate who's around now.
For every moment,
So. And you can't, you just can't quite grab the moment, can you?
You've worked with some pretty big names over the years, but you've
not bigger than these ladies.
You've got like a murderer's row of legendary actresses with you.
Yeah, 100%. I think the movie, in a way, does what the real life Joe did, which is really celebrating and bringing attention to, you know, in this case, it's acting, in that case, it's cooking, but sharing that craft with people. And I felt very much like a host in a way. It just really was, you know, loving watching these, you know, these wonderful ladies, you know, perform, and to get to play with them was a joy. Yeah. I asked them a lot of questions, you know, Thelma and Louise, The Godfather, Goodfellas,
are you kidding me?
Midnight Cowboy,
Sopranos.
I mean,
like, you know, it's all over the place.
Rocky.
What is it about the Italian culture, do you think, that's so endearing, relatable? Mm. I mean, it all kept, whether it's Moonstruck or, you know, whatever the movie, it's like a completely relatable experience to any ethnicity.
I think Greek Wedding, she's from Chicago,
She did
a great job with that. But I think it captures that same feeling, which, you know, is there's something interesting that's very American. That's, you know, the holding on to one's traditions as well as becoming part of the culture at large. And so, you know, there's something that's specific with food, with culture, with how people connect and interact that is so, you know, connected to family, to love, to all of those feelings. And so I think that no matter where you're from, those touchstones may be painted differently, But those human moments are the same. And I think the more specific you are, the more universal it actually is.
Yeah. So since the last time that I saw you, I've started doing a cooking segment on our show, ironically.
Do you cook?
I do cook.
Amazing.
I do cook. And it was to honor my mother, who had passed away recently when I started doing this, because she loved to cook so much. So I could relate so much to Joey.
Did that inspire you to do the segment when she passed?
Well, it was COVID and we couldn't get any guests. So they were like, you cook, why don't you do a cooking segment? And as I got into it, I was like, I wish my mother could see this.
I know.
You know, she would be so happy and so proud that, like, her legacy is on television.
She would be proud of you.
On Channel 9.
Yeah, 100%.
So do you...
And you realize how much they have... That's the thing, is they never really leave us.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
they never
really leave us.
I have her, like, her
old utensils from 1940 that I'm sure I'm getting asbestos poisoning from. But I have it. Do you cook at all?
I do a little bit, not as often. I did for this. I just went with my family to Florence. I was there for a film festival in Italy, and one of all the things we did, you know, I never went to Europe till I was much older and for work, but I was fortunate I could take my kids now. And I think they appreciate it. My kids are very grounded, but they couldn't really in the same way that someone who had, you know, stared at Rome for years and, you know, but the best experience we had was we just took this cooking thing in Florence where we made a pasta and a pizza and everyone got to make their own. Nice. And just that time spent was the highlight for my kids more than any of the places we went to, any of the amazing things we got to see. That, you know, I always ask them, what was your favorite? What was this? But, and it goes to show you something as simple, you know, versus traveling and going all these places, something as simple as the act of doing something and sharing it together is the highlight.
Well, lifelong memory will last for. How old are your kids now, Vince?
My daughter is in eighth grade.
Wow.
Yeah. And then my son is in fifth grade. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember amazing. When they were born. It's crazy. Vince Vaughn, the movie known as. You want to talk about a movie the whole family can watch. That is one really entertaining. And it inspired a really popular cooking segment that we did on television. The idea of, you know, grandma's cooking in the back of a restaurant. The restaurant Tofano's had its eggplant parmesan recipe created by the current owner, Joey DeBono's grandmother. She used to make it in her own kitchen and pass it through a window next door to the restaurant. Joey divulged the recipe for their famous eggplant parmesan on one of my cooking segments this past year. If you want to take a look at it, it's at WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. We're going to go back for some of the most popular cooking segments that I did in 2025. This coming week on the WGN-TV Morning News. So, you know, on Wednesday, we do my cooking segment on WGN-TV every Wednesday morning at 9:35. And they went back and checked, you know, the page views, I guess they're called, on, you know, who's looking at the cooking segments online. And turns out, we have had quite the year on our cooking segment. It's one of the most popular segments on our morning news. And among the most popular recipes in the top five, the Greek nachos that I made last year, right before the Super Bowl, it was like nachos made with gyros, a peach cobbler. I made a southern peach cobbler recipe that was pretty amazing. You know what the number one recipe was, Ryan?
No, what was it?
It was, I don't know if you've heard of this, the Tom Cruise cake, the Tom Cruise coconut cake. Have you heard the story about this?
No.
There's a famous bakery in Los Angeles that makes the most delicious cake. It's a white chocolate and coconut cake, and Tom Cruise buys them like crazy and hands them out as gifts to people that he works with. We figured out how to make the Tom Cruise coconut cake, and I made it on our cooking segment. I think it was last April that I made it. It was delicious.
Really?
I don't know if it's worth like the $60 that Tom Cruise pays for it.
Well, it's not your money. He can pay for it.
Yeah, man. But I made it for quite a bit less than that. With a Duncan Hines cake mix, and it was really easy to make and really, really, really delicious. It's toasted coconut, and it's a white cake with white chocolate. And if you want to see that recipe and get the recipe, you can go to WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. And when we come back from the break, news on the restaurant front in Chicago, a James Beard Award winner about to open his first Greek restaurant. We'll tell you about that next. Hoppa! Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN, getting into our food time show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show. The award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday. And big restaurant news. You may have seen or heard if you've driven by
Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. You may have seen the signs, but you may have heard about that there's a brand new Greek restaurant that is opening in that area. Now, this is kind of a big deal because it is a brand new Greek restaurant by a James Beard Award winner, Jimmy Banos Jr. Jimmy Banos Jr., 15 years ago, opened up a restaurant that just revitalized Michigan Avenue's dining scene in the Purple Pig, which was, I guess still is, a Mediterranean restaurant, really eclectic, but it showed Jimmy's creativity. And now he is taking on a new challenge with a new restaurant that is called Kukla's, 7620 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles. Jimmy, welcome back to WGN, my friend. It's been a long time. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Congratulations on the new restaurant that's coming. When will it open exactly, Jimmy?
We are opening in 2 days, December 30th.
Okay. All right. So people can come and check it out. Now, you know, we've got a lot of Greek restaurants in the Chicago area. I have no doubt that you're going to put some kind of new spin on Greek cuisine. What do you have planned? What's concept wise? What are you thinking?
You know, this concept has been a long time coming. Probably almost 8 years in the making. Okay, so a couple of spots that I had downtown that just kind of fell through before COVID and all that crazy stuff. I grew up in this area, which is really cool for me. I grew up in Park Ridge, so we're right on the border of Park Ridge and Niles, our location. So it's just a very natural the way it happened, and I'm very excited. So I always wanted to take, you know, Greek food growing up, you know, the memories of eating Greek food, going to Greek islands all the time with my grandparents, and that traditional, like, amazing places that are still great today. I kind of wanted to take, like, traditional and then what some people are calling modern Greek today, which, you know, which is different and kind of like the bridge between those two. You know, my whole theory about what we're doing is still simplicity and true to tradition, but on a technical side, the techniques are going to kind of be hidden in the plate. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not going to be, you're not going to look at someone and be like, oh, this is a deconstructed pasticcio. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's all based more on a refinement and just the technical different techniques that we're doing to just enhance flavors and textures and all that good stuff.
Yeah. The way that I think about it, what I've read about it and how you're describing it, is taking some of these classic and traditional dishes and notching them up a little bit.
Exactly.
Making them something a little more special and, you know, creating familiar flavors that you might know from Greek cooking and, you know, creating some new things. I forget what city I was in. I was someplace and somebody took me to a Greek restaurant that was like a modern Greek restaurant, and it was phenomenal. Okay. It was phenomenal, really great. And I thought, boy, somebody in Chicago should do that. And here you come.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be doing this. You know, like, we have, seasonality is also a big thing with us. I have a take on a classic tomato, you know, Greek salad, right? So we're still going to serve it in, we're going to have one now in wintertime, but it's going to be like our own confit preserved red and green tomatoes, but then with all the classic accompaniments to a classic Greek salad. That's kalamatas, a little bit of onion, peppers, you know what I'm saying? So just that kind of extra thought process that goes into it, you know?
Yeah.
We're really, you know, we're looking at our take on, I have a custom-made giant wood fire grill.
Nice.
And we really wanted to really capture of authenticity of flavors.
Yeah.
Of if you're gonna eat it, you know, outside of the grill in Greece.
Yeah.
Right?
So, on the Mediterranean, so often you're sitting on the Mediterranean, the restaurants right there, they go catch the fish and bring it to the restaurant. They put it on the grill, and it can't be more fresh or delicious. You sort of brought bone marrow to restaurants in Chicago with the Purple Pig, and bone marrow returns at Kukla's, huh?
Yeah. So it was funny. One day we were like, you know, it wasn't like, oh, should we do something with bone marrow? Just because that's kind of like we're known for it, and one day we're like, you know, I think, because a lot of times if you're at a restaurant, they'll, you know, people would ask at the Purple Pig, like, you know, put a shot of bourbon down the bone marrow bone after you've finished the bone marrow.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's delicious and, you know, it's fun and interactive. I'm like, you know, let's try taking Metaxa, which is Greek brandy, obviously, and let's just, you know, take the bone marrow, cook it, grill it a little bit, and then, like, pour a little bit of Metaxa on there and let's just, you know, flambé it and see if it tastes good, win, you know, because it can't just be for show.
Yeah.
It's got to make sense.
Yeah.
And then when we're eating it together, I'm like, oh my God, it's like the flavors really are in harmony together. I'm like, I guess we have no choice.
Yeah. That's
I guess we got to do this.
You got to set something on fire in Yalopa at a Greek restaurant.
Yes. So it was kind of like an accident, but it was like, all right, this is great.
Yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait to try it. Your dad, who I've been friends with for years, has been telling me about this for years. As you say, this is a long time coming. So, you know, with him, you know, by your side, I hope this is a huge, great success. I can't wait to give it
a
try.
Thank you so much.
And, we're going to figure out a date where you can come in on, TV on the morning news and that we can cook something together.
Sign me up.
Yeah. In the next couple of weeks, let's do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Kukla's is, 76, give me the exact address here, Jimmy. I don't have it right in front of me.
7620 North Milwaukee Avenue in Niles.
All right. Very good. Kukla's, modern Greek eatery. James Beard Award winner, Jimmy Banos Jr. Congratulations, Jimmy. I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. Happy New Year.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for us today. This is going to be our final show of 2025. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for coming and visiting with us every Sunday morning. On behalf of the whole Sunday morning crew, we thank you so much for listening and being part of it all. And as we have done, I don't know how many years that we have.